Yadi Giridharani ki. Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki.
This is another invocational prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tonight I thought we could hear a few verses from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation, comments by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. He's the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. And this is from the 18th chapter. The subject matter is activity. We're all so busy. Dang, we are so busy. I'm surprised you even had time to come on down to the Sunday program. I mean, life is so jam-packed with activities. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, a spiritual treatise called the Vedic Literatures, it is explaining what are the different factors in every activity. And if one can understand what goes into an activity, one can perfect one's activities. If you can perfect your activities, you're going to raise your consciousness. If you raise your consciousness, then life is going to become much better than it is now. And I don't care if you're a secret millionaire sitting in our midst. I know life could be a little bit better. Most of us would agree on that anyway. So, this is some transcendental knowledge we'd like to share with you. It's stated in the 18th chapter, text number 13. O Arjuna, that's who Krishna is speaking to, according to the Vedanta, this is another spiritual treatise or Vedic literature. Veda means knowledge, Anta means the end of or the conclusion of. So this is a literature that's being quoted to explain this subject matter. According to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. These are the five factors of action. Whatever right or wrong action a person performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. So we all want to consider ourselves to be intelligent. So let's enrich our knowledge with some contemplation about these different five factors. We'll repeat it. The place of action. So everybody knows location is important. I'm in sales. I work seasonally. And location is everything. Most of the people know that. Location, location, location. So where you perform an activity, that's important. But interestingly enough, it's being described that the location, the place of action, is really talking about the body. That sounds kind of strange, because the very next factor that goes into any action is the performer of the activity. Well, it sounds like the same thing, the body and the performer. If I were to ask any of you, how old are you? Who, Gora, you won't be embarrassed, would you? How old are you? 25. Okay. Looking good for 25. That number is attached to the body. That body is 25 years old. In Krishna consciousness, we are sharing information or knowledge that you're not going to get hardly anywhere else. Certainly not in the universities. Not in school. And what is that knowledge? It's knowledge of the person. Who is the person? Spirit soul. This is the ABC, foundational understanding of Krishna consciousness. It has nothing to do with religion. It doesn't matter what religion you may have been brought up in or what you may profess to be now. Everybody is spirit soul. That's the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. Life does not come from matter. They don't teach that in the university. They don't teach that in the schools. They say that some combination of matter comes together, molecules, atoms, it builds up, it develops, this and that. But our question is, why can't they take some amount of chemicals, put them in the test tube, and come up with life? Life does not come from matter. Matter comes from life. The soul present in the body is what gives the symptoms of life to the dead matter that is made up of your body, that your body is made up of. You'll kill me for that. But okay. So the body is made up of matter. We all understand that. But who talks about these things that I'm not the body? Now, what is the spirit soul? What is the symptom of the spirit soul? How can we, on what logic can you say, I'm not the body? Come on. I know I'm the body. One time when I was new at this, I hadn't even joined a temple yet and gotten the association and training from my teacher, but I'd been reading this very same book, and I was trying to grasp what it meant. I'm not this body. I'm the soul within the body. And I tried sharing it with a friend, and I said, we're not affected by the pains and pleasures of the body. Now imagine how liberating that would be if that's reality. Every problem you have in life is connected to your body or your subtle body, the mind. I mean, you can't see the mind, but everybody knows you have a mind, right? I mean, that's a given. Of course I have a mind. I have intelligence. Those are subtle. You don't see them. But everyone possesses it. So I told my friend that if the pains and pleasures of the body don't affect us, the soul. He said, what are you talking about? If you go up on top of your house and then jump off head first, when you land on the ground, you're going to tell me that's not going to hurt you? Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not. Because it doesn't touch the soul. The soul is transcendental or different from the body. It has nothing to do with this body in reality. It is a temporary union. Now, we are identifying with the body, and that's why we think we become hurt or we become happy in relationship to the next point that's in this five factors, the senses. The body is made up of senses. We can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Through these faculties, we are acquiring knowledge. And that's why the scientists or the teachers, they say, well, where's a soul? I don't see a soul. And that's a fact. You can't see the soul with these eyes. Why? Because it's not matter. It is spiritual. It is even more subtle than the mind, which you cannot see. We ask the simple question, what's the difference between a dead body and a live body? I just came from India with Chatura, my wife. Spent a couple of months there. And in a two-week period, we had two dear friends of ours pass away. One of them, I was right there with him when he passed away. And generally, I just saw the expression like, oh, nice young lady. She had some sympathy. Oh, a friend passed away. But for the friend that I knew who passed away, there was no lamentation at all. Even his wife, Chatura, couldn't imagine. Wow, she is so joyful. Why? Because that soul who was in that body was no longer suffering from the disease of cancer that his body was ravaged with. All the problems that we experience in life, if you stop and think about it, it's all in relationship to the body and the mind. And in Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing we're not the body and we're not the mind. We're the soul inside the body. The soul gives symptoms of life to the body. In illusion, we identify with the body. We need to stop doing that if we have our highest interest at heart. And that comes by hearing these literatures of spiritual knowledge. It's not being taught elsewhere. So we're not trying to convert you. We're not trying to get you to change your fashion or your hairstyle per se. Our teacher is basically trying to share this science of what is the difference between a dead body and a live body. What is spirit and what is matter? Those two energies are what make up this entire world. Now, what are the symptoms of the soul? The symptom of the soul is consciousness. So anyone who has witnessed a dear one passing away, they know, they say in those terms, they've gone. They've passed away. They've left. The body is there. Everything's there. All the chemicals, the heart, the brain. But the person you love is not there. They've gone somewhere else. Now, in ignorance, because we haven't been educated about these things, we don't have any idea where the soul has gone to. And we need to think about these things. We need to become educated on these matters. I mean, you know, when the rent comes due or the mortgage payment comes due, you've thought ahead of time and you've done your best to have the money to pay it, because if you don't have your money to give to the bank or to the landlord, you're out on the street. So you have to, you know, be prepared. You have to be intelligent in life. So this culture, this science is saying, well, don't just be prepared in this life. This science, understanding the five factors of action, can help us accomplish basically anything in this world. It is so self-empowering. Knowledge is so powerful and potent. And when we talk of spiritual knowledge, then it's a whole other realm. So we have to be educated on these matters, and that's what our teacher wants us to do. He wants us to share. He understood he wasn't the body, and he acted in such an exemplary fashion to show what it's like not to be an illusion of thinking you're the body. First of all, you understand you're not born with 25 years ago, nor will you die when that, you know, last breath is taken. How liberating is that? I mean, everybody's so worried. I mean, people don't want to admit it, but death is it's a fearful thing. And we try to put on the brave, you know, face and what have you, but when push comes to shove, no one wants to die. That in itself is a symptom of the presence of soul, the existence of you and I in the body, because the soul is eternal. Death is a foreign experience to the soul. For the spirit soul, there is no death, nor is there any birth. They're eternal, they're ever-existing, primeval. They're unchanging. That's you and I. This is very comforting. Very comforting. And one may ask, live body, dead body. They say the heart stops, this and that. You say the soul is gone. But I ask you, it doesn't matter how young or old you are. Gore is a friend, so I can use her as an example. Now, I was in a gathering last night with her and her mother. And her mother made reference to some of her activities when she was a very young child. Well, she's not a young child anymore, nor is she the teenager. Now she's a young lady. These are three phases of life, three stages of life. And even in the, how many years have we been here, Chitora? 18 years that I've been here, I've seen Gora go through many changes. I can remember when she was just, you know, boom, boom, boom. Well, if you ask her, she'll tell you she's the very same person. Everybody stop and think about it. You know you're the same person, even though the body is changing. We don't think it's changing. We think, oh, we're just growing. But no, it's a different body. Now, her mother will always think of her as her own little baby. That's the love of a mother. She could be 25 or 45 or 85, and moms think like that. They know she's the same person, but the body changes. Now, doesn't everybody have that experience? Does that make sense to everybody? You feel the same even though the body is going through so many changes? Now, according to the body you have, you and the body you identify with, your consciousness, which is the symptom of the soul, will be conditioned. When she was young, she was engaged in activities. We won't go into it. I don't need to embarrass her any more than I have. But they weren't the same that she's doing now as a teacher. So we become affected by the body we're in. And this is a very important point also. We have the ability to purify our consciousness and to uplift the consciousness so that we're not just conditioned and controlled by the body. Everybody wants to think that they're free, especially in America. Land of the free, home of the brave. God bless America. Aren't we proud of that? I mean, who won't say that's not the best country in the world? Most people who are born and raised here will say like that. For so many reasons, we have so many freedoms. But in reality, we don't have any freedom. As long as we identify with the body, as long as we are deluded by that ignorance, we have no freedom. We're forced to act according to the body we possess. If you're a little tiny child, you're going to be half to told, don't play in the street. Because the tendency is, I just want to play. I'm not aware of anything else except I just want to play. You get a little bit older, you have to start studying. You get a little bit older, you start getting interested in girls and boys. You get older, you start realizing, oh my God, I got to make a living. It's not so easy being out on my own. So according to the body you're in, you're conditioned by these different, you know, phases of the body, by the conditioning of the body. You're not free. If we were actually free and independent, then none of us would die. Does anybody here want to die? Now, let's keep it even more simple. I hope that doesn't sound too morbid. Does anybody want to grow old? I know that's a fact. Will anybody tell me, yeah, I'm really signing up to get old quick? How much money do you spend on trying to not look old or try to stay young, even though my body gets older and older and the energy is decreasing and, you know? How much money is spent? It's a serious issue. But if you're free and independent, why are you forced to grow old? No, we're controlled by this body and by the laws of nature that govern the body. We have to understand that. If we can understand the laws of this nature that govern our body and how we are not under the jurisdiction of it when enlightened with this spiritual knowledge, it's a whole different experience. It's one, actually, of eternal happiness. We're all looking for happiness. That's another symptom of the soul, as I said. You don't want to die. You want to always be happy. And it's natural to want to acquire knowledge. These are symptoms of the soul. All three of those. Knowledge, eternality, and immortal happiness. That's what we want. But you don't get it in this realm, this material body, or this material world or universe. There are laws that make sure, sooner or later, you will get that point. It gets driven home. The more sick you become at different times in life, the older you become, or when those near and dear to you pass away, or when you're on your deathbed, you might think some of these thoughts we're talking about. That I'm not this body. That there are laws that govern this body and this universe, which imply the next factor of action, that there is a controller involved with us and with the activities that we do in this world. That controller in this verse was called the Supreme Soul. Now, if we can accept that we're spirit soul, you know, we go through so many phases of life, boyhood, childhood, youth, old age. Then when the body stops changing, and even though we've remained the same, is it logical to think that we no longer exist? No. Then we get another body being eternal and the body's being temporary. We always feel the same. The body changes. When the body collapses and is no longer functional, then we, the individual soul, through the agency of the mind, this is part of the science, the mind which we can't see, the intelligence, it's a subtle body. And it is the vehicle that carries the tiny little you and I, the spirit soul, to another body. Now, how does that work? It's up to you. Whatever you do in life, whatever you feed into your consciousness, you are forming your mind into a certain shape and a certain identity. If you act like a saintly person, then you can become a saint. If you act like a dog, you can become a dog. If you are just so selfish and so exploiting and could care less about anybody else, who knows what your destination will be? The laws of this world do not smile upon those who are takers. Those who could care less about all the others that are having the same experience that we are, who are alive and trying to figure out why. How can I be happy? The laws work, whether you want to admit it or not. Just like I'm the kind of guy, I like to drive a little fast. It's my conditioned nature. I come to a stop sign. I guess it's called the California stop. Can you relate with what I'm talking about? You know, not a complete stop. How boring is that? There's nobody coming anyway, and I sure don't see any police. I get away with a lot. Usually I get about one ticket a year. That's my quota. And I deserve it. My point is, you can get away with breaking the laws of the government sometimes. But you cannot get away from breaking the laws of this universe, the laws of nature. That's a fact, despite how much we try. And sooner or later, it gets driven home into the dull brain. Those who don't want to embrace this philosophy, which is a science, like I said, we're not trying to push religion here. It's not I believe and you don't believe. You grow old, I grow old. That's science. That's a fact. You're going to have to die. I'm going to have to die. That's the rules pertaining to the body. Now, if you choose to rise above that with enlightenment, with spiritual knowledge, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul, then you can end it all. But my point was, the laws are unbreakable. You break them, you will suffer. There is a reaction. There is a consequence. Why? Because there's a purpose to the laws. There's a purpose to life. There's a reason for this universe. Now, from the school, like we say, like it was said this morning, from kindergarten to the end of the university, they don't say that. Now, they may say the purpose of life is to make money because they want to make us consumers and they want to, exploit us to the best of their ability. I can work hard. I'm in the workforce. I contribute to the gross national product and I spend and this and that. It's not sustainable. That's not a very rational, logical philosophy of life. For everybody in the world to get what we're getting, they say we'd need 5 more planets of natural resources so everybody could do what we're doing, exploiting the planet in the fashion we are. That's not the purpose of life, to make money and enjoy these senses of the body. The purpose of life is to get out of this suffering, to realize we're not of this world. The soul is from another realm, an anti-material realm. I mean, who understands this? With the millions of planets in this universe, it has an end. Sometimes the scientists say, well, it's expanded and now it's starting to contract. I mean, they say so many things, and that's actually dogma. How can you prove half of what they say? They can't. They're theories. That's called dogma. I believe what they're saying. We aren't interested in dogma. We want to understand the laws of nature. We want to understand the science of life. What are these rules? Why am I suffering? How can I become free of suffering? How do I reach my full potential as a person? That's in spiritual knowledge, not in material. So there is a purpose in life, and it is meant, slowly and surely, to bring us to this point of understanding this spiritual knowledge, which means, if there are laws, can anybody logically assume that there is not some intelligence behind the laws? I mean, this beautiful temple room did not come about by accident or chaos or chance. There were people who worked hard to make this temple room as beautiful as it is. And it's not even by chance that it's disintegrating over the passing of time. There are termites working hard to destroy this building. I mean, nothing happens by chance. So there is a controller. And if we can apply the knowledge that's in Bhagavad Gita and understand that we are spirit soul, then it's not a big step understanding the supreme soul. Because in quality, we're just alike. The supreme soul, the source of this universe, the source of the laws governing this nature, is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And those are our nature. Those are our qualities. Once you understand your own nature, then to begin to grasp this education and science of the Supreme is not a stretch. It's not difficult at all. Until we come to that point, basically, most people in ignorance will think, I'm meant to enjoy this world. Driving here, I saw a man flick his cigarette butt out the window. And I thought, that's what I'm thinking about with this talk tonight. If you don't have spiritual knowledge, you think the world is your ashtray. How arrogant is that? The butts that go down into the drains, that pollute the ocean, that kill the fish. The fish don't have as much right to live and experience life as you do. Once you come to the spiritual platform, you respect all life. Because all life is spirit soul, part and parcel of the supreme soul. And it's gradually, slowly but surely, if you want to understand evolution, it's about the souls going through different forms of life till they can come to the point that you and I are sitting here and contemplating these issues. Life, matter comes from life. And to disregard, to exploit other life, it's a symptom of ignorance. It's selfishness. It has nothing to do with the spiritual platform. Those who are on the spiritual platform, they respect all life. They respect the planet we live on. Because they don't think it's mine. How can you... this body, we want to claim it as ours, but how long do you get to hold on to it? Everything that you bought, how long do you get to hold on to it? Even if you can hold on tight as you can, for the few decades we're in this body, at the time of death, everything's taken away. Nobody leaves with anything but the accumulation of their conditioned or liberated nature, and that carries them into another body, either a material body or a spiritual body. This is a great science. It's very subtle. But if one will apply one's intelligence in the company of those who are practicing this science, this process, it becomes much easier. I'll end on this last note. Was the singing and dancing nice? Was that a common experience for everybody? Every Haribo, Mahatatvaki, Assembly Devotees Gate, Sunday Feast Gate. This jai means all glories. It's a very respectful term in appreciation and gratitude. So every website you will go to on the internet, I won't say every, but so many of them, if they have something that everybody wants, it's not uncommon that you have a fee to pay, that you have a username, and you have a password, isn't it? So what's the fee for Krishna consciousness? The fee for Krishna consciousness is that you have to understand this spiritual knowledge. If you're not interested in this spiritual knowledge, Krishna consciousness has nothing to offer you. Maybe some fun in the singing and dancing, but heck, why don't you go to the bar next door and have the same? Down a few for me. See where it gets you. The name is I Am Spirit Soul. Part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. And the user, the password, is this mantra that we were chanting in the singing. This Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. At any level of life, anyone who will hear or sing or speak or contemplate this mantra, it will purify one's intelligence so that you can begin to appreciate what we've tried to discuss tonight. These are the gifts that our spiritual master is freely trying to give. Our spiritual teacher wants nothing from you but your happiness. And I say that in all sincerity. Where will you find that elsewhere? If you can, tell me about it, because I'd like to check it out. Are there any questions or comments? Got a couple of minutes.
I got one.
Yes, please. I can't see you, my friend. Do you mind sitting up? I can't see you. Thank you.
My name is Jersey Jeff. What do you think about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
He was a self-realized soul. He knew he wasn't his body, and his mission was also to make people happy. People have cheapened the message of Jesus Christ and made it into a religion. I believe this, I believe that. He didn't teach a religion. He taught a way to develop awareness of the self and the relationship with the Supreme Self. We offer all respects to Jesus Christ. Any other questions? You don't have to be shy. I was told this morning that Southern Californians don't ask questions. Let's give somebody one other chance if possible. I like his enthusiasm, though. Can anybody match it?
I've got a lot of enthusiasm.
Yes, my friend.
I was wondering about OPW, out-of-body experiences. Is that kind of a crash course in the elemental idea that you discover you're not in the body?
Could everybody hear him?
No.
What about out-of-body experiences? There are countless documentation of people experiencing that they're on the operating table or what have you, and then they're up on the ceiling looking down. They realize they're not the body being operated on and that they're viewing this body, which is right in line with what we're talking about. It's documented right and left. The soul is different from the body. We're not dependent on the body. The body is not necessary. The soul can exist independent of the body. That soul is in its mental body, the subtle body, and that's the vehicle with which it is arisen. Like when you dream at night, your mind is going so many places, a vehicle to take you so many places. Or when you're sitting here, if your mind's wandering in class, when's this class going to end? Your mind can take you thousands of miles away just like that. It's so subtle. That's the vehicle that ultimately we have to purify. We're the passenger. of this body. Passenger in the gross and subtle bodies, and we need to understand our true identity. It's in our best interest. So I think I will end there. Yes, please.
You said that pain and suffering could end. Do you mean that you can self-realize yourself so you don't come back over and over again, like reincarnation?
Wow, that's such a good question. You talk about becoming free of pain and suffering. Does that mean you're trying to say that you can quit the cycle of coming back again and again and again? That's such an astute question. That's exactly what's being offered here. It's not that I'm not going to grow old. I made that clear. It's not that this body's not going to have its final breath and drop. But I, the soul, if I become realized, I am spirit, not this body, and that I understand the relationship between me and the Supreme Spirit, which you have to, you know, study some other time. But if you can understand that, then it all comes to an end. And you get to go to the realm where actually there is variety of eternal happiness. Just like we think this is the all in all, it's not the all in all, this world. But that's a subject matter for another class. Thank you very much.
Thank you to His Grace Rajendranandan Prabhu. So I'd like to quickly show you a 5-minute presentation over here. If you bear with me. Can I have the lights?